Let us pray. God of truth and tenderness, as we remember the cost of conflict, open our hearts to your word of life and hope. Speak to us through scripture and story, that we might learn your ways of peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please do be seated. Known by God, remembering with hope. Today we gather with millions of others in villages, in towns and cities, in churches and by memorials to remember. To remember courage and sacrifice, grief and loss. To remember those whose names are carved in stone, and those whose names are known only to God. Remembrance Sunday began in the aftermath of the Great War, a conflict that shattered lives and landscapes and left deep scars on every community in Britain. More than 1 million men and women from across the empire died. Over 500,000 have no known graves. The sheer scale of loss was almost beyond comprehension. Families waited for bodies that never came home. Whole villages lost a generation. The world had to find a way to grieve. And so an idea was born, simple yet profound. The Reverend David Railton, who had served as an army chaplain, proposed that one unknown warrior be brought home from the battlefields of France and laid to rest among the kings and queens in Westminster Abbey. One man to represent all who were lost and nameless. And so it was done. His body was carried from the mud of France through silent streets lined with mourners to the abbey. And there on Remembrance Day in 1920, the unknown warrior was laid to rest, surrounded by royalty, statesmen, and ordinary people alike. Thousands wept openly. Many felt that at last their sons or husbands or brothers or fathers had finally come home. That grave remains one of the most visited places in the abbey, and engraved upon the stone above him are these words. They buried him among the kings because he had done good towards God and towards his house. There is no rank, no name, only the simple truth that his life mattered. His sacrifice was known, and his story is held in the heart of God. Around the stone are four inscriptions, including one that reads, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." Those words could almost have been spoken by Job himself. In our first reading from Job 19, we hear a cry that rises out of anguish. "I know that my Redeemer lives." Job has lost everything, his home, his family, his health. He feels abandoned, misunderstood, even by his friends. Yet from that place of desolation, he clings to the one hope that remains. That there is one who will remember him rightly, who will vindicate him, who will not let his life be lost or forgotten. It is a cry of defiant faith, not pious optimism, but a belief forged in suffering, that somehow love and justice will have the final word. Job's hope is not in his own strength, but in a living Redeemer, one who will see, remember, and redeem what has been lost. This is the heartbeat of Christian remembrance. God knows every name, even those we cannot name. Who promises that nothing, no act of courage, no life given, no tear shed, is ever lost in him. In our gospel reading from Luke 20, Jesus is confronted by people who doubt resurrection. They imagine death as the end and life as a finite thing. But Jesus replies, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for in him all are alive. It's a breathtaking truth. In God's presence, life is never extinguished, only transformed. The dead are not lost. They are held in the everlasting life of the one who made them. And so today, as we remember those who fell, we do not speak into a void. We speak into the eternal memory of God, where every story is kept, every name known, every life made whole. The unknown warrior stands as a sign of that truth. To the world, he is nameless. To God, he is known. His grave tells that human dignity does not depend on recognition or fame. It rests in the simple fact that each person is precious, created, loved, and remembered by God. There's also something profoundly reconciling in that grave. Inside it lies soil from France, mingled with English earth. A landscape once torn apart by enmity, now united in peace. And perhaps that is what remembrance calls from us now. Not only to recall the cost of conflict, but to renew our commitment to peace. Peace does not come easily. It begins in small, often unseen ways. When we listen instead of judge, when we forgive, when we build bridges rather than walls, it is the work of a lifetime and the call of every disciple. Job's cry, I know my Redeemer lives, is not simply about what happened after death. It is a protest against despair. It is the determination to believe that God's justice and love are greater than the world's cruelty. That even when we walk through loss and chaos, there is a deeper story being written, one of redemption and hope. And perhaps, as we stand in silence later, we might imagine the whisper of that unknown warrior's journey. Bring him home. And we might hear God's answering voice, all are home in me. So today we remember, not to glorify war, but to honour love, love that endures through horror, love that still endures. We remember not to cling to the past, but to build a future of peace. We remember not to despair, but to hope, because our Redeemer lives. May the God who knows every name give peace to the departed, comfort to the living, and courage to us all to live as people of remembrance, reconciliation, and hope. I know that my Redeemer lives, and because he lives, hope lives too. Amen.